Republican Congresswoman Elise Stefanik of New York's 21st District was in the national spotlight during the impeachment hearings when she challenged Intelligence Committee Chair Democrat Adam Schiff. The conservative base has been enamored with her steadfast support of President Donald Trump and insistence that the hearings have not produced evidence of impeachable offenses. She's discussed her interchanges with the Democratic Committee Chair extensively during national interviews. Stefanik spoke this morning with WAMC's North Country Bureau Chief Pat Bradley about the witness testimony. She says she prepared for the hearings by attending and reviewing the depositions.
I really based my questions off of that studying I did ahead of time. The American people did not read through every single word of the depositions. It was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages, and not all depositions had been made public. So I thought it was important to highlight some of the key statements that were made in the deposition. So you'll notice in some of my questions, I would say, you testified, and then I would quote them. But the overall themes of my questions were pretty consistent. It was focused on impeachment and direct evidence, but it was also focused on corruption issues in Ukraine and the history of corruption issues in Ukraine, as well as potential conflicts of interest with Hunter Biden's position on the board of Burisma and the Obama State Department's concerns. So not all of my questions were yes or no, but I tried to really show for the American people and this district all the information that was very important in those closed-door depositions, because this was the first time that people were seeing it in the open.
Elise Stefanik, one of the things that I think people noticed is that you redirected whether there was potential indiscretions by the president by asking if there was the potential for the appearance of a conflict of interest regarding Hunter Biden. So how can you get appropriate evidence for impeachment if you're not asking about the president's actions?
Well, I asked many questions of each of the witnesses, specifically about potential impeachable offenses. I asked, is there any direct evidence for quid pro quo, for bribery, for treason, for high crimes? And those are the constitutional requirements for impeachment. And I asked multiple witnesses those questions. And in each case, each witness said no, that they did not have direct evidence. The reason why it was important to ask the question regarding corruption investigations is that the only investigation into Burisma, which is the company on which Hunter Biden sat on the board, was actually during the Obama administration. It was the first partnered anti-corruption case between the U.S., the U.K., and Ukraine. And in fact, the Obama State Department was so concerned about a potential conflict of interest that as they were preparing Ambassador Yovanovitch, who was the ambassador to the Ukraine, they actually raised it as a concern, as a potential question she would get during her confirmation hearings. But if you look at my questions, many of them focus specifically on, do the witnesses have direct evidence of impeachable offenses?
Elise, you emphasized before some of the witness testimony two things, that Ukraine got the aid and there was no investigation into the Bidens. Be that as it may, it doesn't address intent nor prior actions that might or might not be impeachable. So was it appropriate for President Trump to use the foreign policy apparatus to try to launch an investigation into the Bidens?
Well, if you look at the transcript of the call, Pat, that is not how I read the transcript, and that's not based in fact. The reality is there was no investigation launched, and the Ambassador Volker said he did not have any information of a requirement or a quid pro quo for an investigation. And that's the special envoy to the Ukraine, who is, you know, the top advisor on these issues. Those facts are really important for the American people to know, that Ukraine did receive the security assistance. And by law, there is a requirement that Ukraine has to have anti-corruption policies in place. That was passed in the National Defense Authorization Act. So I highlight those facts because, again, the American people are tuning in for the first time as these hearings are happening in the open. It's really important to know that despite the accusations of the president, Ukraine did get the aid before the end of the fiscal year, and there was no investigation. So you can't have a quid pro quo if that's the case.
So it sounds like based on what you heard, you believe that President Trump did not do anything wrong in the way he conducted overall foreign policy with Ukraine.
You know, I think President Trump communicates very non-traditionally when it comes to the call. I think that, you know, was non-traditional in how the call with President Zelensky, when you read the transcript of the call. But there's not a lot of transcripts to judge this against, frankly, because it's very atypical for a head of state call transcript to be released to the public. Usually it's summarized and put out by both countries. I want to focus on the facts, which are that Ukraine did get the aid. And by law, I'm on the Armed Services Committee, there has to be anti-corruption policies in Ukraine. And there was no investigation into the Bidens. The only investigation into Burisma was during the Obama administration. So I really tried to focus on the facts and ask substantive questions based upon the witnesses' expertise, which is significant. The other thing that was important, and I did this in the last day of the hearings, we have to view this in the context of there is a foreign aid assessment going on in the Trump administration to make sure that all of the U.S. taxpayer dollars that go to these foreign nations for security assistance, that they're not going to corrupt entities. So there are other examples where aid was paused or delayed. For example, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Lebanon, Northern Triangle countries. So this is part of a broader assessment to make sure that our security assistance is going to countries that are serious about tamping down on corruption. And then the other line of question that I highlighted in almost every witness testimony was when we look at overall security assistance to Ukraine, it was not the Obama administration, but the Trump administration, in fact, that provided the most important defensive lethal aid to counter Russia in the form of the anti-tank javelins. And every witness verified that President Obama chose not to support that, the most important defensive lethal aid, and President Trump did choose to provide that support.
Elise, earlier in the conversation, you said it was important that the people tuning in to watch these impeachment proceedings heard what the people testifying had to say. Yet it seems in the aftermath that what a lot of the mainstream news media focused on was some of the procedural things that occurred and some of the interactions between the congressional representatives. Do you think that the context of the testimony kind of got lost along the way?
I think, Pat, that it was a huge mistake to have the closed-door depositions and have leaks of those depositions into the media. But I do think if you look at the substance of the testimony and the substance of certainly my questions, I try to very much focus on the facts and focus on this as a constitutional issue while also making sure that I was basing it off of previous testimony in the depositions.
We'll have more of our conversation with New York's 21st District Republican Congresswoman Elise Stefanik during Northeast Report Late Edition at 6. The full interview is available at WAMC.org. I'm Pat Bradley, WAMC News.